Well, our text this morning comes from James 4, 13 to 17. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Well, we all do it. There aren't any exceptions to what I'm going to talk about. It's a trap that we all so easily fall into. You know, we tend to be a bit older here, and we older generations we tend to look at the young people in this pandemic, and sometimes, if you're like me, you shake your head in disbelief. You know, we've had these images just this last week, in spite of what happened at Bondi Beach the week before. Big groups of young people on the beach at St Kilda, and the police there trying to move them on because they're not practicing the social distancing that they're required to by the government. What struck me was that amongst that crowd, they interviewed one young man. I think he was a visitor from another country. And they asked him why, in spite of all the messages and all the news, he had still come to the beach and was having close contact with other young people. His answer was that he was a young person and that the coronavirus wouldn't have any major effect on him, if at all. He was of the belief he probably wouldn't get it, but if he did, it would be no more than, at worst, a bad flu. And he said, we young people, we don't have any problems of being close to one another. Such is the sense of invincibility among young people. And we who are older, we may shake our heads. But it wasn't something we did not experience in our lifetime. We've been through that. We've had those years in which we felt invincible. And now it's the turn of these young people with regard to this pandemic. In our text, this sense of invincibility is dealt with. In James 4, 13 to 14, it says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. So there you have it. James is saying, you know, these merchants that he's writing to, these business people, they had all these plans in terms of where they would go and when they would go and how they were going to make all this money. And the Spirit through James comes with this message and says, how can you do that? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. And he could have said, you don't even know if you're going to be alive tomorrow. So how can you make these plans as though you know what tomorrow is going to bring, and as though tomorrow is guaranteed? That was a truth that I shared with the young people at Meekatharra in the high school on my last visit to them in week 7, just 2 weeks ago. I had to say farewell to them, and I said to them that I didn't know whether I would be back in 2 weeks' time, which has indeed proved to be the case. And I said to them, not only would I possibly not be back due to the travel restrictions or the fact that schools might shut down or at least visitors to the schools might be prohibited, but I said to them, there's also the possibility that as a person above 65 in that high risk range, I might in the meantime contract that virus myself. Now, we had been talking in a lesson 2 weeks prior to that with regard to the concept of heaven. And I'd been introducing them to the reality of heaven by different means in the lesson. And so I said to them, who knows? The reality could be I could contract that virus, and by the time that I would be due back to see you, I could have passed away and I could be in heaven. What I said to them, using that as a springboard, was What we need to understand is tomorrow isn't guaranteed to us. None of us knows whether, you know, we're going to be hit by the proverbial bus. And therefore, what we need to do is make sure that we make the most of today. Because today is what we have in hand. Tomorrow, we don't. And we don't know whether we will. And so that was an important thing to share with them. This understanding that we're not invincible. We do not have in our hands the ability to guarantee what's going to happen to us or whether there will be for us a tomorrow. And so the whole world, isn't that amazing? The entire world is facing this pandemic. And for everyone, tomorrow is not guaranteed in a way that was just unimaginable a little while ago. A lot of people could have put off that idea that tomorrow wasn't guaranteed, but no more. The whole world today is facing this reality that nothing is certain, not my life or even my job. Nothing is certain anymore. Everything is in flux. Everything is in upheaval. And so what we want to do today is consider how do we face these times as Christians? And not just as Christians, but how does the world face these times? What lessons can we draw from this pandemic? Psalm 2, the verses 10 to 12, give us a clue. There it says, "Therefore, you kings, be wise, be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." Note that. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. And so we get there this mix with regard to the sovereignty of God, a sovereignty that the kings of the earth wanted to throw off. And the warning is there, don't seek to throw off the lordship of God. Don't try and make yourself gods and oppose him. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. And there would be retribution if they did not give God the honour due to him. But for all who did so, they would be blessed. And especially if they took refuge in him. And that's what we need to do today, don't we? We need to take refuge in God. We need to find in him the security that we need for these uncertain times. You know, the psalmist says, and we opened with that God is our refuge and our strength. And as we go through the sermon, Lord willing, that's what we'll discover. This is the lesson that we have to learn today, that in the sovereignty of God, that he is the ruler and he is in control, that's where we find our assurance, that's where we find strength in these uncertain times. So let's understand, first of all, that as we go through these times, that humanity as a whole and we as individuals have always suffered from this reality of our sense of invincibility. From the very beginning it was that way. Adam and Eve thought that they could improve their situation and a situation in which they would have control of their lives in a way they didn't have before. And the way they would do that, as Satan's suggestion, was to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And what made it so appealing was that then they would be like God. And the scripture tells us that wanting to be like God, in other words, not being content with how they were created as human beings, but wanting to be like God, they therefore ate the fruit, and of course the world was corrupted and fell into sin. There we find the desire to be in control, to be like God. When you take a look at Genesis 11:4, we find there too this concept, this idea that we can do whatever we put our mind to. We can achieve great things and we can make a name for ourselves. Rather than living to honour God and to give glory to God, no, we will build a structure, we will make a name for ourselves. And so it says there in Genesis 11:4, Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Now God had said that they were to multiply and fill the earth, so this idea of building a structure which would cause them not to scatter was in direct breach of what God had commanded them to do, in breach of the mandate to multiply and fill the earth. And so they were seeking to supplant what God had told them to do and to take his place, as it were. They would direct their lives in the way that they saw fit. We find another example of that with regard to King Nebuchadnezzar. Do you remember how Israel was taken to Babylon with regard to the exile? And Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon, had grand visions of himself, about his greatness. And he had this dream, a dream about a tree that grew and gradually began to fill more and more territory and reached up to the sky. And he couldn't work out what the dream was about. And so after all of his wise men and his counselors couldn't work it out, he got Daniel in and asked Daniel to give him the interpretation. And in Daniel 4:11 to 22, this is what we read. Speaking of the vision, describing it, Daniel said, the tree grew large and strong, and its top touched the sky. It was visible to the ends of the earth. Reminiscent, isn't it, of the Tower of Babel, how it was to be so huge that people could see it from everywhere, and therefore that they wouldn't lose sight of each other. They would stay together. They wouldn't be scattered. Well, this tree was going to be visible to the ends of the earth. And then as he interpreted the dream, Daniel said, you, O king, are the tree. You have become great and strong. Your greatness has grown until it reaches the sky, and your dominion extends to distant parts of the earth. So here's Nebuchadnezzar, feeling invincible, just like those young people on the beach, feeling invincible. He has all this power. He has all this strength. He is in command of his life and his empire. And therefore he feels very secure, because nothing can be more powerful than him. He has full control. And we shouldn't laugh at Nebuchadnezzar, because in so many ways you and I are like him. We may not have a grand kingdom, but you and I have our own thoughts and even our own actions with regard to feeling invincible. Don't we all have our own plans? Like I had the plan next week to jump into the aeroplane and fly off to the schools. That's not going to happen now, is it? And then Florence and I had an intermediate plan. We had hoped during the school holidays to go up to Broome and spend a week there just resting, go to a couple of resorts and just veg and walk along the beaches and catch our breath. That intermediate plan has fallen by the wayside now. The government has said that you're not allowed to travel even within Western Australia. And then there are those long-term plans. You know the plans I've had with regard to walking with one generation, of being with these children from pre-primary through to high school, and Lord willing to be a blessing to them and to break that cycle that so many of them fall into, those destructive cycles that so many of them experience in their life. But none of that is in my control. I can't guarantee any of that. And yet we talk sometimes as though, well, that's going to happen. That's the plan. And we can have all these different steps that we can be pretty sure of, that we're going to reach those steps. And when all the steps have been done, that's going to be the outcome. We all fall into that trap. And so it's important, as we go through this pandemic and we see how those plans can be so quickly and easily dashed, that we learn to find where our true strength lies, in whose hand our future is alone secure. And so one of the things that we have to learn, one of the lessons that we need to derive from the pandemic, is this shocking reminder as to our human frailty. You see, when we feel invincible and we make our plans and we think it's all in our hands, all we have to do is achieve these different steps along the way, we forget how frail we are. When you take a look at James in our text today, you find that when he addressed these merchants, he brought to them by the Spirit a reality, a fact of life that they and we too so often ignore. You know, we just live and we just get on with it. But there's this reality. There are these facts of life that are true that we need to be aware of. In James 4, 13 to 14, it says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow." Now listen to this. "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." You know how a mist can lie on the ground early in the morning and then the sun comes off and it burns it off, as it were. You know, we often talk about low cloud, especially we pilots, we talk about low cloud hanging around, and we know that when the sun comes up, that will eventually disappear. Well, the Bible says that's what our life is like. Life is but a mist. It hangs around for a little while, but then it's gone. With this pandemic, we need to understand we aren't invincible. Our lives are not in our hands. We're like a mist. We're fragile. We're here and then we're gone. You know, the builders of that Tower of Babel, like I said, they thought themselves invincible until God stepped in. And God confused their language. And then we read, the building of the city stopped. It just stopped there and then. With the confusion of languages, the different trades, as it were, couldn't speak to one another. They couldn't communicate and they couldn't work together. And so the people left and scattered over the earth, as the Lord always intended they should. They scattered over the face of the earth into their people groups, according to the languages that God had given each separate one. They thought themselves invincible until just like that, the languages were introduced and they couldn't work together anymore. I don't know how familiar you are with Psalm 90. In the congregation or the denomination that I come from, the Christian Reformed Churches of Australia, it's been pretty much a tradition in the 40 or more years of preaching that I've had the privilege to have in my life, that on New Year's Eve or even New Year's Day, that this would be the psalm that would be preached from. And the reason it would be preached from was because it sets before us these two truths. The sovereignty of God, that He is God, that He is the ruler, He's in control of all things, and we are but that mist. In Psalm 91:6, it puts it this way. "Lord, You have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, You brought forth the earth and the world. From everlasting to everlasting, You are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, 'Return to dust, O sons of men.' For 1,000 years in Your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered." See that contrast? From everlasting to everlasting, God has been there. He's God. But us, He turns us back to dust. We came from dust. You know, God says with regard to Adam, He formed him from the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life. God, the Creator, compared to us, dust. Dust brought to life that God gave to us, breathed into us. That's the difference. This is what we need to remember in the time of this pandemic. This is the lesson that that the whole world needs to relearn. There is a creator. There is a God, only the one God that the scripture speaks of. And we aren't invincible. We are but dust. We are like that grass, that fragile grass, that before the hot sun comes up, it thrives and grows, but when the heat of the sun comes upon it, it gets dry and withers and even dies. And so here we are, the whole world, we ourselves as individuals here in Wongan Hills, wherever you are as you watch this particular sermon, here we are, all of us, and we are faced with this pandemic. Our invincibility is shattered like shards of glass lying in the dust. At one moment we thought we could do anything and we had our plans, but now that is all gone. I saw a 40-year-old guy on TV, and there was pictures of him on video in the hospital, and later on in the video they spoke to him at home after he had recovered. And his warning was to young people. He thought he was invincible. He thought that because this affected mainly older people, he would be all right. And he said he could not believe how ill he became. And he gave the warning to young people like himself that if they thought that this was something that would not affect them badly if they did get it, he said it was like nothing he'd ever experienced before and he would not want to experience again. A 40-year-old, not an old person, a 40-year-old. And then, of course, recently there was a man without any symptoms in his early 70s, a fit man, not someone who had a chronic condition, not someone who was suffering from other illnesses, but someone fit, probably looking forward to another 10, 20 years of healthy retirement. And all of a sudden, although he had no symptoms before, he just dropped down. He collapsed. And within 48 hours, he was dead. We are all facing this pandemic. For all of us, it's an uncertain time. We don't know whether we will get it, and if we do, we don't know what the outcome will be. Already, there have been tens of thousands of deaths around the world. Already here in this country, tens of thousands are now without work, and thousands of businesses have closed. Some of them, probably many of them, will not reopen when all this is done and dusted. And while we in the first world have so many resources, especially medical resources, outstanding hospitals and outstanding medical attention that will be given to us in ICU units, consider places like Africa. Consider places such as these third world countries that do not have what we have. Imagine what's going to happen there when the pandemic hits them. This world is in a lot of grief at the moment. In Psalm 90 verse 10 it says, "The length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away." Those words in today's context really resound, don't they? How fitting those words. Their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass. Those years quickly pass and we fly away. So it's an important lesson that we need to derive from this pandemic. We aren't invincible. We are extremely frail. And the plans that we have are not in our hands to produce the outcome. A journalist, Paul Kelly, here in Australia, wrote something I thought was very insightful just over a week ago. He wrote, "The assault by COVID-19 shocks our contemporary assumptions." And then he speaks of what that assumption is. Here's the assumption: that humanity through reason and technology has mastered the universe to guarantee increases in life and prosperity. This is Kelly, and he's saying this. He's saying, we have this assumption, a contemporary assumption, that through reason and through technology, we've become masters of the universe, as it were. We can guarantee life and prosperity. And then he goes on to say, a reminder of the biblical injunction that pride comes before the fall. And the Bible says that, pride comes before the fall. And this is where we're finding ourselves in the world, a world that through reason and technology thought that it can control things, that everything was in its hands to do, that anything was achievable, even making life last longer. And this injunction from the Bible, this lesson from the Bible is brought forward by Kelly in the newspaper article. Pride comes before the fall. And we're seeing that now, don't we? Where all that arrogance, all that sense of invincibility is falling by the wayside for so many. He goes on to write the following. This crisis over time will unleash a torrent of cultural and religious analysts probing for a deeper meaning. You know, people are going to really study the innards of this situation. When it's all over, they're going to have a good look at what all this meant. And then he goes on to say, but it is impossible to overlook the obvious. Now listen to this. This is really important. What's so obvious to Kelly about what's going on, what's happened, and what's happening now? Listen to this. At some point, the idea of a God-created morality was swept away in favor of another principle, that man, not God, is the center of the universe and has the ability to control the fate of humanity. So that's Kelly's observation. That when the analysts go back and look over all this, when it's all done and dusted, there's something obvious that needs to be acknowledged. That at one point in time, this moral assurity, this fact that God had created a morality, there was this God thing in the world, that was pushed aside in favor of man putting himself in the center of the universe and saying that everything is in my hands. I'm in control. You know, going back to the Garden of Eden, Adam, isn't it? Wanted to be like God. And so Kelly says what's happened is God's been pushed out and man has put himself in God's place. With regard to this crisis, Kelly goes on to say, this crisis will test that belief with the outcome unpredictable. This belief that man's in control, he's the master of his own universe, this is going to be tested. And we will see if this is true. He thinks it's unpredictable, the outcome of this crisis, in terms of that belief. But the Bible says it's not unpredictable at all. We know as Christians, and the Bible tells us, that when that belief is put to the test, it will fail. Because God alone is God, not man. So how do we face these days? We've seen that man has considered himself, and we ourselves as individuals so often see ourselves as invincible. We've seen that the lesson that we learn, or one of the lessons we need to learn from this pandemic, is that we are so frail. We aren't in control. So how do we find comfort? Where do we find assurance in these times? James points us in the right direction in chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. And then he says, the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. We all know the story of Job and how he lost everything and how his life became intensely miserable and how at the end, after all of his struggle with that reality, and you know, he wasn't always patient. He took it out on God, and he really sought to take God to task until God corrected him and reminded him that he was God and that Job was but man. And when Job saw that, he repented and asked the Lord for forgiveness for forgetting his place. The Lord is full of compassion and he's full of mercy. This is what we need to remember in this time. He is God, but he's a loving God. He's a compassionate God. He's a merciful God. We see this compassion, we see this mercy in the life of King Nebuchadnezzar. Do you remember how he thought himself so great and that everything was within his grasp because he had the power, that this his kingdom was so great that it reached to all the parts of the earth? Well, that dream was given to him because God was going to cut him down. God was going to make him realize he was not invincible, that what he had was all from God, not something that he had got for himself. Listen to this. This comes from Daniel 4, 24 to 26. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree the Most High has issued against my lord the king. You will be driven away from people and will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like cattle and be drenched with the dew of heaven. Seven times will pass by for you, and listen to this, until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdom of men and gives them to anyone who wishes. Nebuchadnezzar would be reduced to a life like an animal on the ground. Basically, people would have thought that he'd turned mad and that he had lost his mind. And this would go on for years until he acknowledged that kingdoms that had that kings ruled over were given to them by God. It was not by their own power and strength that they gained these kingdoms. Until you acknowledge that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and gives them to anyone who wishes. The command to leave the stump of the tree with its roots means that your kingdom will be restored to you when you acknowledge that heaven rules. So this tree in his dream wasn't to be cut down entirely. The stump was going to be left, and there was hope. From that stump, new shoots would grow. But those new shoots, in other words, King Nebuchadnezzar taking back his power and back his kingdom, that would not happen until he acknowledged what? That heaven rules. That heaven rules. That's the other lesson that the whole world and we too need to learn in this pandemic. Heaven rules. We are not invincible. God is God, and there is honor that's due to him. There is worship that is his right. We cannot ignore him, and we certainly cannot take his place. If we understand this truth, the security that everyone wants, the assurance that things will work out all right, the assurance that we will have what we need, if we take to heart this truth that God is God, we will find that assurance and that comfort. That's what Jesus was saying in Matthew 6, 31 to 34. Do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, and listen to this, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Hear what Jesus is saying? Your heavenly Father knows what you need. He's in control. He's God. Submit to him. And then the comfort and the assurance and the security we all need That's where we will find it. Put first his kingdom and all these other things, these things of life, they'll be added to us. How can we be sure of that? Well, the gospel tells us that God has paid an enormous price for us. You know, we were, until this Sunday, gearing up for Good Friday and Easter. We'd begun our series of Lent sermons dealing with Jesus' cup. And we've paused in that for this sermon to deal with the issues concerning this pandemic. But how do we know that what I've been preaching is true? How do we know that we can trust God for our future, that it is safe in his hands while it's certainly not safe in ours? Well, Paul says it this way in Romans. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Think about it. God gave up his son for us. You know, when Adam fell in the garden, from that time onwards, God has put in a plan that he's working through to bring us home. That's what I said to the kids in Meekatharra in the high school when I was doing that lesson about heaven. Jesus came because he wanted to take us back there. Where we want to go, he was, but he left there to come to us so that we could be with him. God paid an enormous price for your sins and mine. He's paid an enormous price for us getting back to heaven. And what Paul says there in Romans is, having paid that price, do you think God is now going to give up on us? That God's going to desert us? That God's just going to let us wither on the vine, as it were? Having paid that price, God is going to give us everything we need. We can be sure because of the cross. We can be sure because there we see clearly God's faithfulness, God's compassion, God's mercy, God's love. And so, yes, we live in uncertain times. We don't know where this is going to end up. If the Prime Minister is correct that this is going to last for at least 6 months, if not longer, who knows where all this is going to end and what our nation is going to look like after that? Who knows? Nobody does. But even though there's this uncertainty in terms of what things will look like after 6 months or 9 months or even 2 or 3 years, what we can be sure of is of God. He is Lord. He is sovereign. We know it because Christ has made it clear to us on the cross. And we know it because Jesus has risen from the dead and he now reigns in heaven. And he's promised to return. And the Lord has promised already way back in the days of Noah, until he returns, that indeed seasons will continue as normal. That indeed the sun will rise and the sun will set. God has everything in his hands. You know, it's like the old song says, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, you and me, sister. He's got the whole world in his hands. A simple little ditty, simple little song, but so profound in its message. And it's that we need to take to heart and into our lives today. In terms of your future and my future, we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to be anxious about. Having paid the price of his son, we are assured that what we need, he will provide. And as we remember that he is sovereign, then like the psalm says that I'm going to finish with, we can rejoice and yes, we can even be glad. Listen to these words from Psalm 97:1. The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad, let the distant shores rejoice. Hear that? The Lord reigns, let the earth be glad. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we give you thanks that you do reign, that regardless of what the earth has thought concerning you, regardless of the fact that, like Paul Kelly said, the earth has sought to usurp your place and put itself at the center of the universe, we thank you that changes nothing. That humanity still remains frail and vulnerable. That although we may declare that we are invincible and through reason and technology that we are masters of our own destiny, it changes nothing. The reality is that indeed we are like a mist which when the sun comes up disappears. It doesn't change the reality that you are God, that all things are in control in your hands alone. Help the earth to learn these lessons. May this time of pandemic be a time when the earth is brought back to that reality, when it cannot avoid to meditate upon this truth. We pray that it may be a time of revival, where people will be open to the gospel and open to the reality that you are God, that you reign, to be reminded of their own vulnerability and frailty. And Lord, we pray that your church will be faithful in compassionately and with great thoughtfulness and tenderness bringing this truth to our communities, that people may understand indeed, Lord, that there is hope to be found, there is security, there is comfort and assurance, but only as we submit to your rule, that we understand that you are God and that your purposes are being worked out even at this time. And so, Lord, we pray for ourselves too. Help us to remember this truth. Help us to take to heart as your people this wonderful lesson. And we pray, Lord, that you will take away our anxieties. Help us to be still and remember that you are God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.